Believe we're on. Well, it's time for the message. Someone said that to preach under the anointing is like working an 8-hour shift at hard labor. And I can understand that, but you know, for a pastor that's going to speak the next Sunday, you're preaching the message to yourself all week long as you prepare, sometimes all month long as you continue to begin to share the Word of God. And our prayer is that it will go forth with the anointing this morning, and that there will be something that happens inside of each of us that will change. It's not just going to church. It's assembling together with other believers to receive the Word, to worship Him, to change, to be able to go away saying that it's been good to be here and I'm leaving with something I didn't have and it's better, that we are able to go forth. When they teach on preaching, they call it homiletics. And they say that you need a good introduction and a few points and a good conclusion. I say, as long as it's in memorable form, you've probably shared your heart, and that people can go away and remember at least something of what you said. Now, we did get our messages online back up, and so you can just hear it again if you want to. You know, you can hear it again, and maybe something will soak in that wasn't there that morning. But I'm going to start with what is called the introduction this morning. And I want to just share this with you. There was a man robbing a bank. A lady walked up to him and said, "Give me that gun." And he just handed it over to her. People around said, "How did you get that courage, lady?" She replied, "I'm his mother." Well, I still remember it. 5 or 6 years old when I ran away from home, my mom standing at the top of the hill with that belt in her hand. I'm his mother. Now, a few years ago, quite a few, we were directors of Teen Challenge here, and they were having a youth convention in Austin, and of course, I was youth. And so I wanted to take all the guys at Teen Challenge to the Austin Youth Conference. And so we got them all together in a van, and Charlotte and I had some in the car, and we were following them. And by the time we got to Waco, well, it was time to stop to McDonald's for restrooms or whatever, you know. And so when we got out, well, we were told that there were people in the car that were in the van that were giving some trouble with each other. In fact, we got this little message that said, "There's a guy that's got a fork, and he's going to punch some guy with it." So my dear wife, Charlotte, she walks over to the van, and she says, "Oh, my goodness gracious, what in the world you think you're doing? Give me that fork." He just handed it to her, you know. I don't know what he was afraid of, but that was it. One more. A little boy would not stop playing in the streets. He had no fear of getting run over. No fear. He kept playing in the streets. A man stopped, got out of his truck, took him by the hand, and spanked him. He never played in the streets again. He was not afraid of getting run over, but he was afraid of another spanking. Now, you can't do that today. People across the street will be calling you. But I want to share with you about the joy of the Lord again. But about how to get rid of tormenting fear in your life, because a fear in your life will stop you from having joy. And I believe that as a congregation, the Lord laid this on my heart, that we need to be delivered from a tormenting fear. But the kind of fear that we really need is the fear of the Lord. You see, we sang a little song when I was growing up that said, "He sees all you do and He hears all you say. My God is watching all the time." And I grew up knowing that there was a God that was watching. I grew up going at night to my bed and wondering if I was ready for the rapture. And basically feeling like that I had to do right because there was a great God that was worthy of holy living and that he was also able to produce wrath in our lives. And that's called the fear of the Lord. Now, you know, things changed a little bit because during those days, well, we thought that if you said one bad thought, had one bad thought, that you weren't ready for the rapture. And we basically believed that God would erase your name off the Lamb's Book of Life, and then you would he'd put it back in. I said, if it was that long, all day long, then there would be a hole in the paper. But that's not to say that he doesn't require us to live in the fear of the Lord. Now, Bill Hayes is here, and he can preach that message better than me. But I believe that there's many people today that want to be delivered from the fear of the Lord. There's churches today that want to be delivered from the fear of the Lord. They want freedom from the fear of the Lord. We need the fear of the Lord. In fact, 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So we have been commanded to fear the Lord. But I want to talk about this little four-letter word called F-E-A-R, fear. A tormenting fear that will steal your joy. That we need to learn to live above the fear that torments us and keeps us from progressing and keeps and steals the joy away from our lives. There are 63 commands that says fear not. So we basically need to know that he doesn't want fear in our lives. If we're going to have the abundant life, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you're going to have the abundant life in your you're going to be a possessor of the abundant life of the Lord, then you cannot have this torment in your life, that there needs to be a deliverance, a freedom, set free. Isaiah 41:10, I'll give you a few of those. Fear not, for I am with you. Now, why should we fear if he's with us? I could go anywhere if my dad had his hand on mine. He says, I am with you. Be not dismayed, that means discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That needs to increase our faith today that he is with us. He goes before us. He is with us. He says, I am with you. Verse 13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Chapter 43 of Isaiah 1 and 2, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. That's what we shared this morning in the partaking of the blood of Jesus as a symbol here. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, and you are mine. If you've given your life to the Lord this morning, you can say, now I belong to Jesus. He says, you are mine, and he takes care of his own. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Anyone here this morning had a difficult time? You've gone through some waters and you wondered if you were going to drown. You wondered if there was ever going to be the other side of that river. Listen, he says, let's go to the other side. And if he says, let's go to the other side, we're going to go because he's going to be with us. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, maybe there's a tribulation, there's a trial in your life that is fire. Listen, the fire is there to purify us. He says, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. These are promises of God. And he says, fear not, for I am with you. Chapter 44, verse 2 and 3. Thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not. Again, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. for I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Come, Lord. The floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And my blessing on your offspring. Lord, right now, we just stop and pray for those descendants and that offspring that's not living for you. Lord, we believe that backsliders are coming back to you, Lord, and you have promised that you will give the descendants, Lord, and we need those descendants to be there to carry this gospel on. Lord, should you tarry your coming, we know not what the world is getting ready to face, but Lord, we know that we're going to need to be righteous before you. We're going to need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So, Lord, we pray for your spirit to be upon all the descendants, your blessing on the offspring. There's 193 uses of the word afraid. So fear and being afraid are similar. Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you. You see how it's ridiculous to have fear in your life if God is with us, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. He says, look back and see what I've already done for you. So it shall be when you're on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people and say to them, hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of a battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble. Do not be terrified because of them. Verse 4. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight against your enemies to save you. Fear, where does it come from? Are we born with it? I don't think so. Because little children are not afraid, like the little boy in the street. They're not. It's not something that's inherited. It's something that's given. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us exactly where the source is. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So this fear is a spirit that comes up on, it's demonic, it's of the devil, it's something we don't need. We need to walk in freedom. We need to walk in power. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what has he given us? A power and of love and of a sound mind. And that sound mind's got to learn to think straight. And to not be one that possesses and creates fear in our lives. And so we recognize that it's the enemy that gives it to us, so we need to come against it in the name of Jesus. You see, why? Because fear has torments, and you won't have joy if you've got a tormenting fear in your life. We see that there's no fear in love, so what we need is the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, verse 17 through 19 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. You want to be tormented? Then we need to be free from fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So it's all about letting love give you faith and give you freedom from fear. Tormenting fear will steal your joy. Romans 5, 1 through 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith unto this grace by which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So that we can have rejoicing, we can have joy in our lives. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we need to be full of the Spirit of God, full of the Holy Spirit, if we're going to be able to come against the fears that the enemy tries to put in us to destroy our freedom, to destroy our joy. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abide faith, love, hope, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so if we're going to be free from fear, we're going to have a rise of faith in our lives. You see, You cannot mix oil and water and drink it. You cannot mix fear and faith. It will not work. In Israel, they don't know what faith is. They don't use the word. They try to use something similar called trust. They don't use the word faith because there have been too many broken promises, they say. And so they've got to see if they can gather some trust. I want to challenge you this morning that we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and that let faith rise up in our hearts, because we can have hope, we can have love, we can have faith. Now, there's a book called Challenging the Impossible, and you might know that about page 89 of that book, well, I better ask the author if I can use that, or it'll be plagiarism. Can I use this in my sermon?
Yes.
Okay. So, here's what it says. I woke you up anyway. It says, what is the difference between faith and hope? Faith is based on what God has done, looking back and rejoicing in those things that he's done, the promises he fulfilled. Scripture says he's never failed on one promise. Faith is based on what God has done. Hope is based on what God will do. What's the name of the church? Church of Living Hope. It's not just what he's done, but what he will do. The word hope is not in the sense of just an optimistic outlook or wishful thinking without any foundation, but is the sense of confident expectation based on solid certainty. So certain is the future of the redeemed that the New Testament sometimes speaks of future events in the past tense as though they were already accomplished. Hope is never inferior to faith, but it is an extension of faith. Faith is the present possession of grace. Hope is the confidence in grace's future accomplishment. And so when we hope, we are trusting in the Lord. Faith is in our hearts, and because of that, in his promises, we can look forward to a future of being blessed. The scripture says there's no fear in love. 1 John 4:17 through 19 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You want to get rid of anything in your life that's stealing the joy away from you? One kind of fear is called the fear of man. A lot of things are lost because of fear of man. Psalm 118, verse 6, which I'm told happens to be the very center of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. If you opened it up, it would be right in the center. It says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What happens if you have fear of man? Well, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. It's a trap. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. There's fear of man. There's fear of failure. What happens because of fear of man? Well, it will drive you deeper into insecurity in your life, and you won't be able to accomplish things because of the insecurity that is there. Jesus is our security. When he is with us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Doesn't that build up your feeling of security in Jesus, that we know he is with us? Did you know that we will not fail? We don't have to have a fear of failure, because we know that he is with us. Fear of failure will keep you from fulfilling God's dream and vision for your life. I had a pastor that told me that he disobeyed God for 7 years because God told him to come to Tyler and to pioneer a church. And he was, fear of man kept him from doing it. And when I went to him and told him that I wanted to start a ministry called Teen Challenge, that's what he said. He said, well, you need to do it because I waited 7 years because of fear of man. he said, and his church was prospering, and I was part of it, and he was sending me out to start a ministry called Teen Challenge. You see, we cannot let the fear of failure or the fear of man be able to keep us from accomplishing God's will in our lives. So we need to stop trying to do it and let our trust be in the Lord. We need to be able to find that there is a way to keep on doing what we're doing. There was a time in my business career that things had gone pretty bad. I'd had so many robberies and burglaries. They had cut off my insurance. And I would come in, and the safe would be busted again, and I'd lose that money. Right down the street here, it was called West Bow Street. But now it's Gentry Parkway. But there's another part of that story. The change from being West Bow Street to Gentry Parkway meant that they were going to widen the street. And in one day, they put a gully between Bow Street and my store. So the people that came in, they had to go down in there and come up on the other side out of this big 10-12-foot ditch to even get to the store. And if that wasn't bad enough, well, a man opened a new store right down the street here, close to where that Dollar General is. And so he had a brand new store open to the public, and my income went down half in one day. And so there was problems there, paying bills, and I had expanded. We'd had a store on 5th Street and a store out in on South Broadway and another one in Green Acres. And the Green Acres store, well, I had an office there so that I could be like a supervisor to the managers and so on. But things were looking really rough, and I had prayed, and it just looked like there was no way out. And so I fasted and prayed, and I really believed that day that God was going to resolve that situation. Faith was there for sure. And I said, but Lord, before 5 o'clock today, I believe that I'm going to win the Reader's Digest, whatever it is, and I'm going to have all of this money coming in, and it's going to be there. And so I sat there and waited at my desk, and it was about 20 minutes till 5, and through the side windows there, I could just see a man's feet and legs walking by. Yes, Lord, this is it. And this man came in, and he said, I'm here to see Joe Foss. And the receptionist said, go ahead. He's waiting for you. And he came in. He said, I understand you owe me some money. I said, oh, Lord, is this what you do when I pray? Oh, Lord. And he sat down, and I said, sir, I said, I've had some robberies, I've had some burglaries, I've had some reversals, but I will pay you some way. I just poured out my heart to this man. Here's what he said. He said, well, we helped a man last year that was losing Tyler Pipe and Foundry, and said he got back up and he sold it for $1 million. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, first of all, don't ever worry one day about what you owe me. He said, if you can pay it someday, that'll be fine. And I did. He said, but let me tell you this. If you'll keep picking up one foot, there'll always be a place to put it down. Now, that was my answer that day. God answered it in a unique and different way. And from that day on, we were able to pull it out of there. And now, we didn't sell it for $1 million. We closed some of those places up, and others we did things with. And it was really a training ground for what I'm doing today. It was not a money maker in all of this, but it was a time that God spoke to me and said, keep picking your foot up. There'll always be a place to put it down. I tell you today, fear not with whatever is going on in your life. If you will just keep picking your foot up and going forward, there'll be a place to put it down, and there is hope and there is a future, as the scripture says, that we will be able. And so we need not fear. We need not worry. What will ruin our joy? Worry will steal your joy. Do we have any worriers here? Have you worried yet this morning? What is worry? Well, it's to think about your problems, your fears, to feel or show fear and concern because you think something bad has happened or could happen. to worry somebody else is to cause them to be anxious or upset. Worry is a feeling of concern about something bad that might happen. The state of the condition of worrying about something. A problem or concern. Something that causes you to be worried. It's a mental distress and agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. Something you're anticipating that's going to happen in your life. And so you worry. You worry about it. What does that do? It steals the joy of the Lord from your life because of worry. I'm trying to prepare you for what's ahead. I believe that there's difficult days ahead. And I believe that we as believers, we've got to have a new way of living if we're going to be able to move through all of the things that's coming upon the body of Christ. And so we have a scripture that says, do not worry. It's a Jesus command. Matthew 6:25-34. You know the scriptures, but let's go through it. Let the word of God penetrate your hearts today. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. Now, these are the words of Jesus. Nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than that bird? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do we need our faith increased so we can overcome fears? Do we need more love of God so we can overcome fears? Therefore, do not worry. Did I put it in bold? I should have. Yeah. Do not worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. Again, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day in its own trouble. Dr. Jerry Landry was part of Calvary Commission. He actually lived on the property there before we occupied the property, before it was given to us. And he was a medical doctor. He later went to Europe for about 3 years, and he ministered in various hospital groups, Hospital Christian Fellowship, I believe it was called. And he came back and he shared this to us, kind of the similar message I'm giving this morning. Here's what he said. 40% of our worries are over things that never happened. 30% of our worries are over the past. What did I tell you? That the past may be bad, but your future is spotless. Think about it. You can get forgiven of yesterday, and right now your future is without a flaw, because it's up to us to walk in the righteousness of the Lord. So 30% is over the past, 10% is over other people's problems. And the scriptures tells us not to get attached with someone else's problem. 12% is over sickness, real or imaginary. I believe God can give us divine health. 8%, he said, are over things that are worth worrying about. So why worry? Can we have a freedom from fear? Can we have a freedom from worry? I believe we can, because the scripture teaches us that we can be delivered. We can be delivered. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So how do we get rid of fear? By deliverance. How do we get rid of fear? By getting rid of the spirit of fear, by coming against it in the name of Jesus, so that we can have the joy of the Lord. What is our part? Seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord for it. In fact, I believe that we could just put a blank at the end of my, and we could say, I sought the Lord and he heard me. You believe that? And he delivered me from all my whatever. Whatever. Whatever addiction. Whatever is there. Whatever is keeping you back. Discouragement. Whatever. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my whatevers. So we have a promise here that God will do that. Psalms 28, 6 through 8. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And so when we are helped, then we can have the joy of the Lord. We can rejoice. And with my song, I will praise him. When we are delivered, we will sing praises unto him. Like I said, they sang a hymn and went out. There was joy in the Lord. The Lord is their strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. And so we can be delivered from fear. We can go to the Lord this morning and let God speak to our hearts. We were not born with this fear. It was acquired. They used to tell kids ghost stories and then put them to bed. And every shadow was a ghost. You can't expect deliverance if you feed your fear. You can't expect deliverance if you watch violence on television. You can't expect deliverance if you play violent video games. Let me ask you this. How much does bad news edify you? Or how much does it feed your fear? You cannot have the joy of the Lord and fear in your life. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward at this time. First of all, I want the prayer team to face me. I'm going to commission you this morning to cast out fear or anything else that's in people's lives. So first of all, I'm going to say, no fear. No fear in your life. No worry. No fear. No worry. I'm going to commission you to use the name of Jesus as people come this morning to be prayed over. So turn back around. You want freedom this morning? You want the joy of the Lord? Then line up. We're going to anoint you with oil. It's right here behind you. We're going to say in the name of Jesus. This can be a day. This can be a day of freedom in your life. Earlier in the service today, we said there may be some people here that don't know the Lord. That's the greatest thing you could do this morning, is come up and be freed from the penalty of sin. That you could be able to be set free. Lord Jesus, freedom now, Lord. Freedom now, Lord. Freedom now, Lord. You feel that you've come up here this morning and you've been set free, then we want you to pray for the next person. Altar time is very important. My message was brief this morning, so we'd have time to do business with God. You may want to just come and kneel. May the Lord give you freedom this morning. Perfect love casts out all fear. You're running low on faith, come get some faith this morning. You're running low on love, come get some love this morning. Holy Spirit, come right now. Come right now. Spirit of God, come right now. Come right now, Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Yes, God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, oh God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we come against the spirit of fear. In Jesus' name, strengthen, Lord Jesus. Blessed be God. Thank you, God. If you think you've been delivered from the spirit of fear this morning, come up and pray for others that come. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Blessed be Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Bless the Lord. Blessed be God. Come forth, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come ahead, brother. Come ahead. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom. Hallelujah. You believe you can have freedom this morning? Freedom this morning? Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can come down there. Hallelujah. We anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we come against every fear. Every fear, Jesus. God, we come against everything that would keep us back from you. Lord, I pray your deliverance, your freedom upon this couple right now in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, we bind every spirit that tries to steal, kill, and to destroy, oh God. Lord, we commission them. Lord, we anoint them with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks every yoke. Lord Jesus, God, we pray today, oh God, that you, Lord Jesus, would bring it about, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that you, oh God, would bring freedom in every area of their lives, oh God. Oh Jesus, Lord, you want to be a deliverer. You want to give freedom, oh God. We want you, Jesus, to touch lives today, oh God. Touch lives today, oh God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Line up. Yes, God. We come against the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Blessed be 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 God. Heal and set free. Heal and set free. Heal and set free in Jesus' name. Heal and set free in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you. We exalt you today. We exalt you today, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, oh God. It says, I sought the Lord. He heard my cry, delivered me. If you're not going to come up, well, seek the Lord where you are today. Seek the Lord. Pray for these that are here. Pray for freedom. Pray for deliverance, that we can be a people of God that is full of joy. We can go forth to a world around us, and we can share what the Lord has done for us. We can say, look what the Lord has done. And we'll be able to have that freedom in our lives. And I just ask you this morning to seek Him. He says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way. Lord God, we pray today. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Lord, set people free today. Set people free today, we pray, oh God. Yes, Lord. Almighty God. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, our God. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Praise your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Our great desire is that we would have a people growing in the Lord, strengthened by Him, being able to face the world around us, being able to loose those heavy bands, to lift up holy hands. Let all of God's people praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we pray. Jesus, our God. Jesus, our God. Bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Scripture says, if there be any among you that is sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. If you need prayer for your body this morning, come. Jesus. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Scripture says you are mine. Jesus says you are mine. We're in His hands. We can trust in Him. We can trust in Him. Praise you, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let your presence be known, Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, there is deliverance. There's freedom. There's rejoicing. I want you to meditate on what you've heard this morning. Fear knocks on your door, don't answer it. Worry knocks on your door, don't answer it. Remember the words, fear not. Remember the words, fear the Lord. Worry not, do not worry. Jesus our Lord. Oh, Jesus our Lord. Jesus our Lord. Come against it in Jesus' name. The power of the blood of Jesus. Blessed be God. Thank you, Lord. Allora basota caria barocora balla cantia brandara di abrosontare le corovara cosa tale che davvero brandara da abrosontare le cadavere per io sontare le cadavere sholanda da baracchetti antare le corovara sontare le cadavere cosa santa cantia antore da babra cosa tale che davvero cosa e loro torandara basota cantia loro andara da baracchia sontare Shola barakati under the Kurabra Sota de Karabri. Shila Rosa Shola Bandakati Brando Lakati under the Kurabra Sota de Karabri. Yes, God. Jesus our Lord. Jesus our Lord. Jesus our Lord. Come against it in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shola basata kaya tora barakota under the Barosontar de Katabri. Blessings, Lord. Blessings, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what we really need to do is do business with God. He's always ready. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will come to me, I will open the door. Sup with them, them with me." Fellowship. He desires you. He wants you to be His. He wants to build you up, to edify you, so that you can stand in the world around us, that we'll be able to stand. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. We say, "Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit." Jesus, seek you, Lord. Seek Him, holy, may be found. Call upon Him, holy is near. Jesus, our Lord. We cry out to you, Jesus. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand. It's been good to be together this morning. The Word of God is true. Every line, every word, every verse is yours. So take the Word of God with you today and come against the fiery darts of the enemy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oye Israel, Jehová nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón y toda tu alma con todas tus fuerzas. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. We challenge you now to go into the world around you and be hope to those that are there. Go take hope to this world. Go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Be a healing agent. Be the healing team. Give them living hope. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for coming.